Praise Jesus. Isn't it neat that you come to church, but you know you have to look through the woods to be able to find the words? And the pastor that's preaching looks like he just stepped out of the woods, but hallelujah.
Yeah, something like that. Hannah, have you got all T-shirts delivered? Okay, if there's anybody who hasn't gotten T-shirts that they'd ordered for VBS, get with Hannah, and she'll be more than glad to get that for you. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Are we ready for what God wants to do? Are we ready for what God is trying to do? Do we really care? You know, it's easy to have the right answer. It's a little bit harder to put it into practice at times. If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. If you find Nahum, go back a couple more pages. If you find Zephaniah, you went just a little bit too far. If you find Matthew, you're in the right general area. Just keep on going back a few pages. Short book, kind of hard to find at times, but Habakkuk. Or like I said, Habakkuk, I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. It's that guy who's kind of stuck in there between Nahum and Zephaniah. All right. I want to talk about what God wants to do in our lives. One of the things I want to challenge us as a church in general, as I've been challenging the young people over the last few weeks, is last year or so, God told us to embrace many things, and one of them was to change the way we think about God. And I want us to challenge ourselves to really consider who this man Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel, what he was really like, what he really stood for, what he is really trying to accomplish. So often, if we're not careful, we picture God kind of like this. We see in our minds whenever Daniel or John looked into heaven and they saw that this imposing figure on a throne with eyes of fire that consumed them, and that's how we picture God. As it's all-consuming, going to get you, and if you do the first thing wrong, zap you into nothingness. Maybe we don't literally think that, but we act like it so much. And yes, there will be a time, and yes, there is a time whenever God is that way when it comes to judgment. Just because his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, which is so outstanding, will just shine forth from everything around it that it can't help but be that way. But God's true desire, God's true nature, is to embrace us. To embrace mankind and to be so involved in every area of our life. He is not some God out there somewhere waiting for us to do something wrong or waiting to help us if he gets around to it or whatever. He is wanting to be so involved in everything that happens in our lives. He is more concerned about things which you're concerned about. In fact, he's more concerned about things you're not concerned about than what we could ever be. And God wants to be involved. In Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And there are those that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth excuse me, doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Sounds like the prophet is talking about 2021, isn't he? God, why do you show me all of this iniquity? Why do you show me all of this which is going on? How evil is just literally, it seems, sucking up righteousness. And yet you don't answer me, God. You don't do anything. I've been talking about what is it that we need to learn while we're waiting on God. Are we waiting? Are we waiting like we're waiting in the doctor's office? Or are we waiting like we're expecting? See, the waiting that we're supposed to be doing is expectantly. Don't get comfortable. The prophet here starts out the burden. The burden which the prophet did see. What burden do you see? What I want us to think about is, why hasn't God moved? And what is he trying to show us? Why hasn't he moved? And what is he trying to show you? What? See, God sees everything. God knows everything. It is mind-boggling if we really stop to think about how God can keep track of every little detail of everything that's going on, not in every person's life, but in everything that happens within earth, period. I mean, he said he knows when a bird falls. He knows whenever one of your hairs fall out. He has an easier time with some of us. But God is intimately aware of every detail of everything that happens upon this earth. Not only upon this earth, but in all creation. And he keeps it all straight. And he tracks it on a continuous basis. And yet he's still available to hear us when we cry. So what is it that he's been seeing that he's wanting us to see? See, one of the things I want to think about tonight is, are we ready to really see the burden which God has? That he's wanting to instill within our individual lives. Because why have a move of God if it's not going to be used for something? A movement for the sake of a movement, that's no good. What God wants is a movement for the sake of changing lives. A movement that he is glorified. A movement that will cause people to see the goodness and the grace of God. You know, that's such a great message Pastor delivered today. You know, God is good. The answer to Habakkuk's question here is, well, why don't you do something? God is simple. Because God is good. God is good. You say, well, then why is he letting evil go on? This is answered in the New Testament. What if God just was long-suffering so that some could come? What if he's long-suffering just to show how good he is? You know, we live in the instant age. Remember whenever some of us was, we were a little bit older, 5 minutes seemed like forever. Today's generation, 5 seconds seems like forever. Today, we have instant everything. And if you don't believe that we're not impacted by it, next time your cell phone or your tablet or your computer, whatever, you hit enter and you get that little just waiting. Oh, we don't like that. What's wrong with my connection? We don't curse, obviously, but if we did, we'd be cursing out Spectrum or AT&T or whoever else it is. And it's only been 3 seconds. Oh, but we want it now, now, now. And God's saying, I'm wanting to get things ready. In chapter 2, after Habakkuk has vented to God, he says, I will stand, chapter 2, verse 1, upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am, I love this, reproved. He knew God was going to have a word, and it's probably not going to be what he wanted. He said, hey, I'm going to wait and see what God has to say, and then I'll figure out what it is I'm going to answer him whenever he talks to me. He said, so the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables, that he may run which readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. God said, Habakkuk, chill. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this down. Because it's going to be a while yet. But I want you to understand one thing. When it's time, it's time. Amen. And it's going to happen fast. And nobody's going to stop it. Because it will surely come. And those who think they're all right, they're going to find out they're not all right, but the just are going to live by his faith in what? His faith in a good God. His faith in this God who is concerned about every aspect of his life and who is looking to find out what it is that God is interested in and trying to do, and he is getting himself involved in working towards that. One thing we need to understand while we're waiting is that even though it seems like we're waiting, it's going to happen. Amen. It will surely come. And what God is trying to do in the meantime is, A, stir his church to really see what is happening around them. To really see it not in this judgmental attitude that so often we have of, man, those people are just so wrong. And what those people are so deceived. You know, the people who's burning down cities and looting and doing this, that, and the other. People who are saying some really horrible things about people. And, you know, you see in the news, you know what I'm talking about. God loves them. God's desire is that those people come to a knowledge of who he is. And the question is, who's reaching out to him? And you say, well, I can't get to them. Okay. But are we praying for them? Are we interceding for them? Are we seeing that which is happening around us and it's stirring our hearts, or is it just stirring our anger? Yeah, we're living in that time when it's the age and the spirit of lawlessness. Okay, so we're living in the time when it's the age and the spirit of lawlessness. So what are we going to do about it? I said last week, the only reason the devil gets his way is Christians have stopped saying no. Christians have stopped interceding and seeking the face of God with tears. And God said, hey, it's going to come. There's going to come a time whenever I'm going to make a change. Amen. We can stand on the surety of what God says is going to happen. But what are we doing to really come to understand what he's trying to do in the meantime? Yeah. Keeping that thought, go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. In Numbers chapter 23, the children of Israel are getting close to coming into the promised land. They've been starting to become a force to be reckoned with, and they're getting some people's attention. One of them is a guy, king by the name of Balak, who calls for a guy by the name of Balaam. You may remember him. He's the guy who God said, don't go. And he said, well, if you want to, you can, but talk to me first. And so Balaam got up early the next day, took off, and his donkey wouldn't cooperate and ended up talking to him. That Balaam. Well, Balaam made one smart thing. That is, hey, king, I'm here. I'll do what I can for you, but understand one thing. Whatever God tells me, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go one step against God. And he goes and he starts to find out what is about this people who's all over this valley below him. And next thing he knows, he's given a blessing upon the children of Israel instead of a curse. And that makes King Balak not very happy. And so he says, well, you just haven't seen them. Let's go over here. And he shows him another segment of what's going on. We're just going to jump in there for sake of time. Verse 16. Balaam's went to make a burnt offering. And the Lord met Balaam, put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak and say this. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said, what does the Lord say? And he said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man. God isn't like anything you've ever met. God is not like anything you've ever understood. God cannot be defined. God cannot be put into a box. God cannot be put into our imagination. And yet we try and put God into each and every one of those. We have ceased to be amazed by God. We have seen so many technological things happening that we have just become so accustomed and so used to relying upon ourselves and upon mankind and the things which God has blessed man to be able to know how to create and to build. And yet, God is not a man. He is so far above it. And we have lost that. We have lost the awesomeness of who God is. And he's wanting us to restore within the church first, so we can restore it within the world, a glimpse of the awesomeness of God. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now, he's getting ready to say some things that are really great here, but I just want to stop and think about this. He said, hey, God's not a man. God's not going to go changing his mind on this, Balak. He's not going to repent and not do what he said, because what God says he's going to do, he's going to do, because actually, whenever God said he's going to do something, he's already done it. We just haven't got into what we call time yet to pick up with where he has done it. He said, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. We don't know the time. We do know it can be delayed, but Balaam put this out here. God is not going to not do what he said he's going to do. wants so much for us to understand that He really is the only thing we can depend on. Amen. He is that faithful source that we can always look to and know that, hey, A, He's good, and B, He's able to not only perform, but will perform. Amen. And beyond that, he goes the step farther. For sake of time, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. The rest of the chapter is really great, but look at verse 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. When you read this, if you stop to think about it, it says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Go read Exodus and the earlier parts of Numbers. You know, especially that part whenever God told Moses, Moses, you step back and I'm wiping them all out. Because I've had it up to here with them. And yet Balaam says, hey, God has beheld and he doesn't find any iniquity or perverseness in them. What? God's blind? No, God looked at his righteousness. God could look all the way back. Whenever he's looking at the children of Israel, he's looking all the way back to Abraham. And he can see the faithfulness and righteousness of Abraham. And he can look all the way ahead to his son Christ, and all he can see is righteousness. Whenever we're looking at the world around us, what do we see? So often we get caught up in the evil, which is there. But do we see the righteousness that God is wanting to instill in the hearts and lives of people? See, God has said he's going to move in people's lives. And what he says he will do, he's going to perform. And so often we start limiting God by discounting what he can and can't do. I guess really what my message tonight is about is we need to catch the vision and increase our expectations of a great God. Not try and give him an excuse out. And then look at it and say, how do I get involved? You follow this story down through, and King Balak didn't like this here at all. And so he takes Balaam to another spot, and Balaam doesn't even go talking, offering a sacrifice time. He says, hey, I've caught the vision. I've caught the vision. Let me tell you about these people. These people are going to be great. These people are going to do amazing, astounding things, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. See, because as time has went by, Balaam has allowed himself, even though Balaam ends up being a wicked person who God told Joshua, make sure you take out Balaam. He has allowed himself as a prophet of God to see the agenda of God and to embrace it. And it became that which he was and that which he desired. And because of it, God could start revealing to him and through him things which he was going to do that no other prophet, after this even, mentioned about the greatness of what Israel was going to see. And this is from a man that God ended up saying, wipe him out because he's responsible for some bad problems coming within my children of Israel. Do we see the vision? Can we understand that God is not going to not deliver? That he's not going to put us in a situation where he's going to let us down. God's not going to be that way. God so wants to be involved. And God so wants us to see it. One last passage I'd like for us to see, and that's in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. And this is where it puts us at today. Is our challenge of where we, I believe, we need to be right now. As we understand the goodness of our God. And that He really wants to be involved in every area of everyone's life. I am, I told the young people last couple of weeks, I am so moved in my spirit that we need to really see Jesus. We really need to see what He was trying to bring into mankind, because we have lost it. We have lost the intimacy of which God desires to have with His people. We've lost this desire of that God has to be involved in every area of our life and to impact and to influence people through us. You know, we say, well, this is not the way life is anymore. God doesn't change. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he didn't make it where he said, oh, yeah, we're going to have a mighty moving of my spirit up until, well, you know, 1960, and then we'll stop. Just throw out a date. No. No, in fact, if you look at what His Word says that we will do greater things than He did. Yeah, but what they really meant was, you'll do greater things than I'm doing. I want you to get involved in doing greater things. Yeah, but do you see the vision that God has? Do we see the burden that God's wanting to lay upon us? Do we see the fact that He's not going to lie? He's not going to change. What He says He will perform, He's going to perform. Daniel has been through an incredible life so far. Pulled away from his home. Brought into a country where the king was going to try and give him a new identity, and he just would not take it. Gave him a new name, and he said, "Nah, I'm Daniel." And the king said, "No, you're Belteshazzar." Well, by the time that king was getting ready to die, he was calling him Daniel. By the time the other kings came around, they were all just say, "Okay, yeah, you're Daniel. We can't change who you are. The world wants to change who we are. Are we letting them succeed?" He's had his moments. He's had time with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's had all these things go on. He's been down the lion's den. Verse 1, chapter 9 says, the first year of Darius. Excuse me. The son of Hasrus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel has been studying the Word of God, and he looks and says, oh, I see, well, we're about to wind this thing down. We're getting ready to have a major change here. God is getting ready to do something new. God is getting ready to start sending people back to Jerusalem. Can you look based off of the books and the things around you and see that Some things are getting ready to wind down. Can you see that God's getting ready to do something new? Daniel's reaction to this was, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What's our response? What's my response? Not what has it been, but what's it going to be after tonight? See, we can't change the past. We can only change the present and future. Daniel looked at it and said, man, God's getting ready to send the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. Hey, you know what? That's great. Guess what? God said he's going to do it. Therefore, hey, God's going to do it. We can break out the celebration time, right? Would that not be the surface? I mean, hey, we just got done finding out God's not a man that he can lie. So he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So he told Habakkuk, write down the vision. Well, Jeremiah wrote down in 70 years, God's going to send the children of Israel back. So, hey, great news. No, God's getting ready to do something great. That means we better get ready for it. Amen. Daniel says, man, I've seen that and said, man. We got to get busy. I got to get busy to get prepared for something that he wasn't even going to take part of. We have no history of showing that he ever went back to Jerusalem. He's an old man by this point in time. He says, verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, and our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto you, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses which they have trespassed against thee. And he continues on. Notice how Daniel started. Lord, we have sinned. Lord, we have trespassed. Lord, we have messed up. Daniel was a righteous man. But Daniel looked at it and said, Lord, we as a nation have really messed up. I want to challenge us tonight that we, as a nation, we as a church, and we as the church, have messed up. We have not kept our focus on God. We have not kept our devotion to him. We have allowed ourselves to embrace a concept of God which has kept him from being involved in our everyday life and everything that happens within us. We have allowed something to come into the church and into our personal lives that has separated us from an intimacy with God. Because of that, we struggle and we battle on a daily basis the most minor of offenses that we can't even get to fight the real battles. Because we're just trying to keep our heads above water. And God's saying, I'm getting ready to make a change. What are you going to do about it? Amen. Can you really see what is going on around you and what I'm wanting to do? Can you really see the evil that is around you and find the desire within you to turn to me, truly turn to me, and allow yourself to be used to fight the spiritual warfare that I want to be fought in this last day? Can you really find it within yourself to look at how people are so bound up by the devil and by devils? I mean, after all, we live in the nation that has decided the month of June is to celebrate homosexuality. Yeah, sick, but you know what? It's the church's fault that it's happened. You know what God thinks about those in the LGBTQ community? They're worth dying for. Yeah. He's not mad at them. He just understands. They're deceived. Their lives are being operated by the enemy. They think they're right. I mean, they really think they're right.
But we're yawning because, you know, we don't want to get that involved.
Because we're still Christians and we come to church and we sing our songs. Say hi and encourage one another, and we go on our ways. The prophet Daniel looked and said, oh man, something's getting ready to happen. And he just didn't start crying out to God. I mean, verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I think he took it seriously. I think he looked and said, man, while I'm waiting for God to do what he's getting ready to do, I need to do something serious. Amen. So while we're waiting for a good God to bring new life, what are we doing? What are we really doing? What he's wanting is for us to really take a gut check, so to speak, and get busy.
Amen.
Doing the master's work.
Amen.
Get busy really doing soul searching. Get busy listening, God, get me out of my complacent way of life and get me ready for what you're really wanting to do. See, he told Habakkuk, write the vision down because it will surely come to pass. Write down what I told you. It's going to be a while. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's going to be a while. But know this. When it comes, it will surely come to pass.
Amen.
So get ready for it. He told Balaam. And Balaam, you tell him. I'm not a man. I don't change my mind. What I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do. So, not only write it down, but Balaam, let your vision get increased.
Amen.
Church, when you let our vision get increased.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And as we allow our visions to get increased, we got to seek God. I mean, like we've never sought God before. Not looking at it as though we're trying to pray for God to take care of people who aren't worthy of Him. No. Yeah, God, we're praying for people who's not worthy of You. It starts with me.
Amen.
You heard Pastor's sermon today, yes. God is good. And His goodness is what makes us worthy to come before Him. But in ourselves, we're not so good. At least I'm not. Daniel was a righteous man. And he said, God, we've sinned. Daniel was one who moved heaven. And he looked at it and said, oh, I see we're getting ready to have a change. Let's get ready for it.
Amen.
Church, can you get ready? Can you see that we're getting close to a change?
Amen.
We need to get ready for it. Pastor.
Oh, hallelujah. Decisions, decisions, the prophet Amos said. In the valley of decision. Daniel said as he was praying, and he had seen some things that was going to take place. And in fact, at that time period, the things that he saw that was going to take place has not yet happened. And it made him sick. He got sick. As Daniel prayed, he said, as I was praying, and I said, Lord, we don't come to you because of righteousness. We come to you because of our sins. And he said he was praying and confessing the sins of the people and asking forgiveness. He was praying for the people. And we need to do that, Brother Mark said. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our nation. And he said, as he was praying and confessing the sins of the people, Gabriel showed up and showed him some dynamic things that we have the record of it. But we need to seek Almighty God. God is not a man, and God is faithful, and He is good, and we need to seek Him. And Daniel said, our problem is that we didn't pray. We didn't seek you. We didn't confess our sins. And so he said, that's our problem. That's what Daniel said in his day. We have not confessed our sins. We knew about them and just went on our way. So I want to challenge you folks. Let's step up. All right. There's a lot of things going on. We find over in Israel where, this is what's going on today is almost unbelievable. But our country has been the greatest support of Israel in the world for several years since Israel became a nation, actually. We've got a few other countries that do. Australia does. Some of the Europe does. Some don't. But anyhow, God's hand is upon Israel. Jesus said, He said, for the end times, keep your eyes on the fig tree. And He's talking about Israel. He tells us what He's talking about. In Israel, as we speak, they are working on a change of government, and it's not going to be a good one. And our country is now supporting the terrorists that's been coming against Israel financially. We're sending them millions of dollars, and kind of changed sides. We're of course that happens. When we get new governments and such, but it's not a good happening. It's not a good happening. We've been backing Netanyahu for years. He's been in there, it seems like half of forever. But the people are wanting to get him out. And, there is some saying that elections were not fair and such. But God's in control of these things. God is in control because He's going to change things. And Jesus is going to come back before long. I'm done. He said, keep your eye on the fig tree. So keep your eye on the fig tree. Keep your eye on the news as far as what's going on in the elections, because it's going to change a lot of things. And when it does, friend, everything in the world is going to change. Everything's going to change. And the economies are going to change. And we know what happens when the economy changes. Because follow the money trail, and people often lose their allegiance whenever the economy changes to whomever they're following. Know that you are following Jesus. Money is never an issue with Him. Okay, He's going to take care of you. He said He would. So, Pastor Mark is right. We need to get serious about this. We need to seek Him. We need to pray. We need to repent. We need to call on Him. We need to make changes in our mind. We've got to make up our mind that we are going to seek the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to repent. We're going to ask Him, search our hearts, try us, Lord. Show us iniquity in us. And we need to be fine-tuned for going to heaven. Would you stand together with us? Thank you, Pastor Mark, for that tremendous message. Hallelujah. And I ask those who are streaming with us, if you can be in church, be in church. And we've gotten news of people that lives a long ways from here, out of state. And wherever you are, if you can go to church, go to church. You need the fellowship of the saints. You need to be in church because Almighty God said for you to. That's what God said. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And He wants to minister to you and prepare you. So wherever you are tonight, if you're streaming, thank you for streaming in. But if you can be in church, be in your local church and get in there and encourage and edify one another, because one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is that we encourage one another. You with me? Okay, so let's get with it. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for Your amazing, indeed, grace. Thank You for Your great plan. And this plan includes us. And You allow us, right here in this room, hearing My voice, Lord, You allow us to call upon You anytime. Seek You early and we'll find You early, You said. And now, Lord, we ask You to stir our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make decisions based upon this day, Your day, Lord. And, Father, we'll make decisions. We're going to serve You if nobody does or everybody does. We're going to serve You. We're going to seek You. We're going to grow in You. We're going to ask You to search us and try us, Lord, that we might repent before You and that we might be the people You want us to be, Lord God, and that we might, above all things, Lord, love because You are love and You want us to love others. Your love, Lord, working through us, and help us, Lord, to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. And, Lord, to pass that love on to others. We thank You. Pray blessings, health, healing, Lord God, guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Lord, bless you. Don't forget, Vacation Bible School tomorrow.